let me add my welcome to that which Tim has already extended. We do count it a privilege. We count it a privilege to gather with you this morning. Count it a privilege to travel along together in the Lord, and that's what we do here at Calvary Chapel. We're just a fellowship that studies the Word and wants to grow in the Lord and know Him better and all. So welcome, welcome. And I'm blessed that you've chosen to begin this first Sunday of the new year by gathering with us. And nobody knows what the new year holds, do we? But we know this, God is faithful through it all. And no matter what the new year holds, He will hold us. And so we rejoice in that. That's one thing I've learned and I'm learning all the time and expect to learn more and more. And that is in the midst of it all, God is faithful. And I pray this morning would be part of encouraging you along that line as we look to God's Word together. So let's do that. We've arrived at, and I am much blessed by this and excited to see what God's going to do in these coming weeks. We've arrived at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So turn to that last book of the New Testament, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you need a Bible to study with us and you don't have one with you, we'd count it a privilege to give you one. Just raise your hand and the ushers will pass the Bible over to you. If you need that Bible to keep, there's no charge for it. But take it and turn to that. First chapter, the last book of our Bible. And by the way, they have pencils. If you need a pencil, raise your hand. They'll pass a pencil to you. But let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. As I said, to turn to the book of the Revelation, I suspect it might have caused, at least in some of us, a certain response. For some people, right away you think of, oh, it's such a hard-to-understand book, and there's so much mysterious about it. For some people, they just say, why don't we just steer clear of it? Other people, you're like prophecy buffs, and you love it, and you'd like to dig into every angle of it and everything. Some people just feel like it's just so kind of removed from their everyday lives. Other people, when we read the book of the Revelation, we feel like it's just as timely as the morning newspaper. And truly it is, the events that it talks about and all. So my point is, there's a lot that you might kind of bring to the table about this, a lot of responses you might have to it, but I want us to see God's take on this, how He would have us approach this. Because this is a letter that starts out and ends with a promise of a blessing to each one who will read and keep the sayings of this letter. Look at chapter 1 of the Revelation here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, if you were to turn to, you don't have to, but allow me to the last chapter of the same book, chapter 22, verse 7. Jesus declares, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So I'm just highlighting that this book begins and ends with a promise. The promise of a blessing. To who? To those who read, yes. Study, yes. But then apply. Those who walk in the truth of this. So it's not a book to be avoided. It's a book to be read and kept and be blessed. That's what God's intention is for us through it. But how? Can we really do that? For those of you who studied it, you know that as we get into this, there's going to be different kind of symbolisms and possible interpretations that are in this. And as we approach this book, is it possible with all the potential interpretations and all, is it possible to receive the blessings that God intends through it? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. And that's what I want to begin our time in this book with this morning. I just want to focus on that which is going to help us gather the blessing that God has for us out of this book. So let's begin now. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. That will be enough to bite off for this morning. I want to start with this question this morning, and it might seem kind of random, but I believe instead, of course, that it's going to help us zero in on what God would have for us. And that is, when you think of Jesus, how do you tend to picture him? How do you see Jesus? Now, I might get different responses from different people based on your relationship with him and just the aspects of Jesus, if you will, the characteristics of Jesus that have touched your life. And so you might tend to see him in a certain way. But I want to ask you to think about that for just a moment. How do you picture Jesus if I ask you to do so? We just went through Christmas time, and so perhaps some people, when you think of Jesus, you think of Jesus as that baby in a manger. That cute little cuddly baby there and all the angels singing and all, and that's how you picture Jesus. And that's part of course, the picture of Jesus, and so that has its place. But in and of itself, that's the incomplete picture. Perhaps when you think of Jesus, you think of him instead as that rejected one who hung on the cross for your sins. Crucial. Awesome that he did that. But if that's all you think of, then that's an incomplete picture. See, if you only see him as one of those, or you stop short of all that the Bible tells us about him, then your view of Jesus is incomplete. And all that we're going to be facing, not just because it's New Year, but just because it's life. And we know life throws things at us. Health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, losses. There'll be so many things that come along. Jesus has for us all that we need to get through that. But we miss out if we don't see him in that. If we only see him with a partial view, then we're not going to appreciate or call upon or lean on all that he has for us. So it's important we see, have a complete take, if you will, on Jesus. As we come to this awesome, awesome book, and it is, it's one of those books that just makes you want to take your shoes off because it's holy ground. It's just so awesome. And I'll just step aside from my notes for just a minute to share with you. Typically, we go through the Bible kind of, you know, book by book, chapter by chapter, and we're going to do that here pretty much, but don't be surprised if we cover some ground more than once or go at this in some different ways along the way because there's so much here. And I don't know if we can cover all of it, but I don't want to miss out on what God would have for us as a fellowship. So we're going to take some different interesting looks at all this, I believe. But having said that, just as we come to this book, we're going to see that God, he pulls back the veil with the goal of showing us some important things that we need to know, things that are going to encourage us and strengthen us and all. And so the veil of heaven is pulled back, and through this awesome, awesome message that God gives through John, through the messenger, through John and all, we're going to get a view of Jesus that's going to bless every single believer. For some, it's just a reminder. For some, it'll be a new take on him. But for every believer, it will be a blessing. But also, and I hope this will be the case, for those who aren't believers, I hope it's going to shake you up. Hope it'll shake you up, and it'll just be driven home the necessity to open your heart. To open your heart to the one that this is all about. Let's pray. Father, a new year upon us. And Lord, it is true, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but you are so very faithful to us. You've proven yourself to be that way, and you hold us in your hands. You don't leave, you don't forsake us, and nothing takes you by surprise. So Lord, just want to stop for a moment and say thank you. And Lord, just want to lift up to you. Lord, I want to lift up to you that one who is struggling with health issues, perhaps has gotten a diagnosis that's troubling. I pray for your touch, Lord. Pray for your healing, comforting touch, Lord. For that one who has gotten some news that just kicked him right in the gut, and they're experiencing a loss, a pain, Lord, just flood that empty space with your very presence right now. For that one who just is very concerned, finances are rough, perhaps facing some losses that way, Lord, encourage and minister to that one, Lord. For the one who's going through relationship issues right now, Lord, wondering how it's going to work out, Lord, again, touch, heal, draw to you, that there might be healing or whatever needs to be. Lord, just thank you that whatever we have going on, we can bring to you and find in you our refuge, our hope, our strength, our healing. And Lord, we come to this book now, this awesome message from your heart to ours. Help us to hear it as such. Not just to be batted around in our heads, but to be applied in our hearts. Just saying it in, Lord, help us to see you better through it all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's work our way through the text. Go back to verse 1 with me, if you would. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So basically, that's the order here. God the Father gave it to Jesus, who gives it to an angel. It can be translated messenger, who then gives it to John to give to us. Who bore witness, speaking about the Lord, who bore witness to, about John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So that just means John's telling it like it is. Verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. In that beginning right there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the very opening words, we have the whole focus of the book set before us. This book is the revelation. The Greek word here is a word that we get our word, the apocalypse, from. But that word's kind of taken some different definitions in our day and all. But the Greek word here, it actually means the unveiling. So God, through Jesus, through this message, is going to be unveiling some things, showing some things, because he wants us to know about these things. As we approach this book, God pulls back now the curtain to heaven and reveals something. And what is that he's going to reveal? What's it say? Things which must shortly take place. The book of the Revelation is not just a book of symbols or theories or, you know, maybes. But look what it says. Things. That means it's literal. Events, people, these things that it's talking about here. There's a literalness to it. So there's things, yes, actual events. This isn't just like an allegory, but it's actually going to happen. So things which must. So first of all, it's literal, and it must come to pass. Now, when God says something must come to pass, what are the odds it's going to happen? 50-50? No, it is going to happen. Things which must shortly take place. Well, it's been a long time since he said this. Yeah, and it tells in Peter that it's because he desires that none would perish, but that all would come to him before it's too late. But when it's going to happen, it's going to be to happen. It's going to be boom, 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 boom. And so that's why this is given, to let us know of future events and all. They are real and they will happen. And we want to be prepared. And indeed, as believers, we can rejoice in what we're going to be reading. We don't have to be afraid of this. But it's not just about things. It is going to talk about future events, yes. But it's not just about things that will be unveiled. There's something else that's going to be revealed in this awesome book. And that's where we're going to start today and just kind of make sure we set the pace here. What's the other thing that's going to be revealed? Well, it's very important to know and remember this. It's going to be something that's going to guide you and bless you and help it, this book be a blessing to you if you just remember this. This book isn't meant to simply reveal the future. It's meant to reveal Jesus. To reveal Jesus in a way that he hasn't been revealed up to this point in the Bible. All these other things that have been said about him, crucial, awesome. But in this book, we're going to get that much more. We're going to see that many more facets of the diamond, if you will. That many more aspects of him that are going to be such a blessing and encouragement to every believer. We're going to see him, of course, as Savior. We'll see some of that in just a minute here. But we're going to go on to see him as judge, as bridegroom, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And these are views that hopefully will lead us to join with all those we're going to be reading about later, to worship Jesus, to adore Jesus even more, we consider all that he's about. Tim mentioned Pastor Chuck. By the way, Pastor Chuck, I don't know if you happen to know, we watched the New Year's Eve service that was broadcast from the Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and they had a taped message from Chuck. It is true, he had a little mini stroke, but man, you tell by that recording that he made, his mind's as sharp as ever. He went through about 5 chapters of the Bible from memory as he was talking, you know, and his speech is fine, but his body's weak, and so they're praying for just recovery and strength for his body and all. But he's doing well after his mini stroke. But he says this about the book of the Revelation. Pastor Chuck says, throughout the book of Revelation, the central character will be Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, the Gospels tell the partial story of Jesus, including his birth, life, death, and resurrection. John's Gospel even tells about the preexistence and deity of Jesus in the first chapter. But it is left to the book of Revelation to unveil the rest of the story as the future and eternal picture of Jesus Christ is developed. And what a glorious picture it is. And then he says, if you want to know Jesus more fully, you need to study this book. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And that's the take we're going to have on it. Oh, we'll talk about some interpretations when we can find, biblical evidence to do so and all. But through it all, let's have the goal of knowing and seeing Jesus better as we see him through this book. See, the question this morning is this. How do you see Jesus? How do you picture him? Maybe to put another way is, who is Jesus to you? Revelation invites us to get a bigger view of Jesus than we perhaps might have right now. Again, there's an appropriateness to seeing him as in certain ways. But we need to make sure we keep in mind all that he is and all we have in him. And as you do, that's going to help us feel that much more secure and just what a refuge he is and a strength and the peace and all that we have in him as we get to see him more and more through this book. Well, this description starts out here and continues through the book, but it starts here in chapter 1. Let's go to verse 4 now. John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. We'll get back to them in a future study, Lord willing. But he says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. In this case, that's referring to God the Father. And from the 7 spirits who are before his throne. That's referring to the Holy Spirit. And verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. This morning, you are either in verses 5 and 6 or verse 7. Let's look at why. Verse 5. As John now makes reference to Jesus, this declaration is going forward, this revelation of Jesus Christ, it says, and from Jesus Christ. Now, notice the description. We're going to have a lot of descriptions of what Jesus looks like and all kinds of things coming up in this awesome book. But it's interesting of what the first description of Jesus is here. Interesting but not surprising. Because the first description of Jesus here is the one that ushers us into the blessings of this letter. If you indeed are one of these he's talking about. Let's consider what it says about Jesus. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The idea there is that Jesus was faithful to his calling. What the Father told him to do, he did. John 3, 31 and 32 says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He came, they wouldn't receive him. But the point is, if you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. And what he did always the will of the Father. He accurately depicted what his Father was like. And what his Father told him to do or say, he did. So he was faithful to his mission. He could arrive at the cross by saying that he kept all these things. He could arrive at the cross by what? Saying, it is finished. And so that's what it's talking about here. First of all, he was faithful. He's the faithful witness to the Father. Second description, the firstborn from the dead. This is a reference, of course, to his victory, Jesus' victory over death. It's what he accomplished as he rose from the dead on that Easter morning that we celebrated. He is the resurrected one. Later on in the same chapter, verse 18, it says, Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So he came, lived, died, but the grave couldn't hold him. He rose again. He conquered death, conquered sin. He is the firstborn from the dead, and he has the keys. He has the power to give that very life that we've received. So that is God's seal of approval on it. So he's the faithful witness. He is the firstborn from the dead. And it says, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. The book of Romans shows us Jesus as our great Redeemer. The book of Hebrews shows us Jesus in his office as great high priest and an advocate for us. But in this letter, we're going to see Jesus as ruler. Not just a prince, but a ruler over all. The one on whom rests the judgment of all others. After Jesus was risen and he gave that great commission, you look at Matthew there, right before he gives the great commission to go and tell about his love and the gospel and all, he says what? All authority, all power has been given to me. And that's exactly the case. All authority, all power rest in him. Yes, maybe you see, some of us see Jesus, you know, meek and mild Jesus, see him as like a shepherd there, you know, and that has his place. I mean, yeah, and we're the sheep, he's our shepherd, awesome, and all those things we can kind of see him as. But don't stop there again. Recognize that he's the one. I mean, make sure you see who he is now and what's going to be happening and what he's going to be inheriting and all. He, in him, resides all authority and all judgment rests in him. And so it's very crucial if you're in him or not. He wants you to be, but he puts the ball in your court. But it's going to be very crucial. So you understand, he is the one who has given the authority, the power of all judgment. And what's interesting is watch what it says next. To him, it's talking about Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, this us here, the blessings of all this, only applies to those who've availed themselves of this very washing that Jesus accomplished through his blood, his shed blood. It does not say, now to him who gave us a wonderful system of religion by which we can work our way to heaven. But some people think that. It doesn't say, now to him who will take your good and your bad and place them on that great scale in the sky. And if your good outweighs the bad, the scale will tip in your favor and in you go. It doesn't say that, does it? There are no such scales like that in heaven. But people think that. Well, my good will outweigh the bad. That's not what it's about. Or rather, to him who loved us, by the way, most agree that's properly in the, if you look in the Greek, apparently that's in the present tense, it's who loves us and washed. In other words, the wash is past tense, but the loves goes on and on. But to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's how it is accomplished. This very Jesus came as walking the earth. A religious leader came to Jesus one night, Nicodemus. You read about it in John chapter 3. But basically, what's Jesus do? He cuts right to the chase. He goes, unless you're born again, you'll never see heaven. How do you do that? So Jesus says, hey, you got to be born physically and you got to be born spiritually. And that's where he says, because God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God, the Son, this one we're reading about, came here. He didn't beat around the bush. He went right to it. He says, settle it and settle it now. You got to be born again, and here's how. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to deserve it. You just receive it. You receive this very washing. You have to receive this, or else you're not. Well, in that case, if you don't, then you'll be in verse 7 here, and you don't want to be there. But this is what the gospel is all about. He's the one who loves us, and if we will receive that work of the cross, he washes us from our sins in his own blood. Have you done that? You have to do it. The study of the book of the Revelation, it might be interesting to you mentally, but in the end, you really won't understand it because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. But more importantly, is they won't apply. Well, there'll be things that apply, but again, you don't want them applying to you, some of these things. But you have to have done this. But if you have done this, you've received Christ as Savior, look at the next verse. Verse 6, and has made us, those are for the believers, us there, remember, you have to be an us, you have to receive Christ, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you're in Jesus, he has made us kings. Now, some of your translations say a kingdom, that he has made us a kingdom, and that's fine. Works either way. He's made us a kingdom. He's made us his people. We're now part of that body of Christ. So he has made us kings or a kingdom and priest to his God and Father. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible says, for all believers. We will reign and rule with Jesus in the kingdom to come. A couple of you are excited. I'm glad to see that. I hope that we get and lay hold of what this is saying. I say, God, what mercy, what grace, what love, God. The Bible says no one can really know their own heart, but to the degree that I do, I just stand in awe that God would do this. Wash me in his blood, and not just stop there, but then put me in this place of ruling and reigning with him, making us kings and priests, and all these things that he gives to us, that he does for the believer. But for this morning, if you are in Jesus, then all that we're going to be reading about in the book of the Revelation here, it should have a response from us. We're going to see it's going to have a lot of response from those in heaven and all, and it's important that we have that same response. And I hope that this begins to provoke that in us if it hasn't already, and that it should cause us to worship him, adore him, rejoice in him. Think about what he's taken us from and what he's taking us to and what's up ahead for us. He's made us kings or a kingdom and priests to his God and Father. There's nothing to fear, believer. Even as you read all this, what about these plagues and all? There's nothing to fear for the believer in all this. And we'll be studying that and be encouraged by it. But remember that. We don't have to be afraid of what this says. We don't have to be afraid of what tomorrow holds. Because again, we know who holds us. But we need to make sure we remember and realize all that's ours because we are his. If we'll do that, then we will indeed join with John there at the end of verse 6. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it. But, as I said, there's another side of the coin. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Now, in verse 7 here, all commentators agree that this is a reference to what's called the second coming of Jesus. We'll be studying that more later. We've just kind of jumped ahead right now for this verse as John does the introduction here. But don't get too worried about what does that mean. We'll get the timelines and all down as we get to studying through all this. Long before the second coming of Jesus is the rapture of the believers, that great taking up of the believers to heaven. That's going to happen here at the end of chapter 3 into verse chapter 4, the taking up of the believers and all. But this event, this second coming, that's going to be after all these plagues and all the great tribulation and all this stuff that's going to be poured out on this Christ-rejecting world happens. Then comes the second coming. But for now, the point is this. Either you are his and you will rejoice to see him and you'll go home with him and rule and reign with him, or you are not his. And when you do see him, whenever that might come about, you will see him. You will see him. If you don't receive Christ, you can't say, you know what, I think I'll just skip that. Doesn't work that way. You will stand before him. You will see him, and what's it say? And you will mourn. Mourn because you didn't listen. Mourn because you believed man more than God. Mourn because you went with the culture. You let someone talk you into this worldly view of things or something. You will mourn because you didn't believe him. And you will be one of those who says, whoa, it was true. He is the one. But it will be too late. And so it says, they'll see him who they pierced, and they will mourn because of him. This verse begins with a fact, not a theory, a fact. It says, behold, he is coming. He is coming. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. We're not going to get into predicting that. But it is going to happen. And we must be ready. So that's the challenge. Make sure that you are. At the end of verse 3, remember? For the time is near. Now remember, God doesn't measure time like us. You know, 1,000 years is but a day to him and vice versa. But there is coming a time when he calls the end of this age. The believers are out of here. These events begin to unfold. And off it goes. And all things would certainly seem to point to that the events of this book are indeed very close to unfolding. So, which verse will represent you is the question. Since everything is so near, which verse will represent you? Will you be one who mourns? One who says, oh, if I had only, I intended to, I was going to get around to it. Will you be one who mourns? Or will you be one who joins with John there in verse 5 at the end, where he declares, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Which one will it be? Do you see that you need to move this morning? Do you need to move from verse 7? You need to move from being one who would mourn if he came even now, to one who's able to give all praise and all just declare how awesome God is, then do it. As we wrap up our time here, make your way to the prayer room. Tell one of the prayer partners, I need to move. I need to receive. I need to be one who it can be said of me that I was washed from my sin by the blood of Jesus. That's the only way, and you must personally receive it. Back in verse 1, this letter is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of things, events to come, but also of Jesus. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be seeing Jesus in some awesome ways. And it comes back to this. How do you see Jesus? How you see Jesus will decide how you see this book. Indeed, it will decide a whole lot of things. Do you see Jesus as only a great teacher? Do you see him as just a wise man, a prophet among many? Then there is weeping and mourning in your future. But that's not what he wants. He's declaring this so you'll come. But if you have come, if you have accepted him, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior, if you have taken him up on his offer of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, then there are blessings in store for you. Blessings in store as we study this, and blessings as they unfold. The book of the Revelation is not just a book about prophetic stuff. It has that element. There'll be some interesting things to look at and all. But it's a message from the Lord showing us the very glories of himself. As one commentator put it, Revelation isn't an invitation to speculation. It's a summons to adoration. It isn't a call just to sit here and think about it in our head. It's to apply it to our hearts. And I pray that'd be the case, that this would be a book that as we now embark upon this journey, we approach it with our hearts. And if we will be greatly blessed, just as the Lord promises here. So I ask you, I invite you, will you join with me as we travel through this book together and learn to adore and worship Jesus more and more. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I invite the worship team up to wrap us up. As I said, there'll be prayer parties by the prayer room. If you need prayer for any reason, go get prayer. As we kick off this new year, as Tim mentioned, there'll be men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, the CKC will be starting up. We'll be off and running here. This Wednesday night, communion. If you've been attending, get right back in. If not, we invite you. Come jump on board. You can jump in anywhere, and you won't feel like you have to stick out or something. We're inviting all. Let's jump on board and just experience all God has for us in this coming year. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we now embark upon this awesome study, this revelation, this unveiling of the things to come, that you'd help us, Lord. Help us gain from it all that you'd have. And Lord, not just about the things to come, of course, but help us to see Jesus better. Help us to be those who indeed respond with adoration and praise, Lord. Help us be those who, because we have been washed in the blood of Him who is the faithful witness, Him who has conquered death and sin and all, as we are part of that body now, as we've been made kings and priests, Lord, help us. Help us to remember who it's all about. Help us always to give you praise and glory for it. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.